beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. We are glad that God has watched over us, taken care of us, and blessed us to have the presence of mind to come back and worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's amazing how many people believe that they can just serve God like they want to, and God has to take it. And He's going to let them come on to His glorious heaven and live with Him forever. I'm not sure that God will, I cannot say that God will have people to come to live with Him forever that don't have time for Him on planet Earth. But we're glad to see those of you who are here and love the Lord enough to come again and fellowship one with another and worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'll give you a text. The book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. I'll be there for a few minutes. And hear some wonderful, wonderful words from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephesians. And you can also read Revelation as well, at your leisure. What we want to do is to look at the love of God. Take a look at the love of our Lord and Savior, and of our Jesus Christ and His Heavenly Father, but particularly to Jesus Christ. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Let me get over there to be with you. Galatians, Ephesians. And that's where I want to be, in the book of Ephesians. Concerning ourselves this evening, particularly with chapters 1 and 2. I'd like to read a few verses, beginning in chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Just some background information. Paul is writing this letter to the Church of Christ at Ephesus, and Paul is writing it from prison. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath done what? Blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Let me do that again. He has chosen us before Genesis 1 and 1 that we are to be what? That we are to be faithful servants. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predetermined or predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good measure or the good pleasure of His will, knowing that we would betray Him, disobey Him. Even before He created us, He still created us. We're talking about the love of God. God is in Christ. In Christ Jesus. I gave you a title, didn't I? Looking back, you missed it. I think I said that phrase. Looking back. We're going back to the writing of this text about 62 A.D. In Revelation 90 A.D., John was given a vision while he was on the Mediterranean island of Patmos. We see in this book written by the Apostle Paul that God is truly in control, and He always is. And in the end, God wins. He is going to win. He never loses. It also describes what is in store in eternity for both the lost and those who are saved. This is indeed the church. When Paul writes this, this is the church age, and he's writing from prison. From the first century until Jesus takes faithful Christians to heaven, the words of Christ refers initially to the first century churches located in particular places. Jesus' words, by the power of the Holy Spirit, transcends time limitations, and it speaks to all the churches of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in every generation. This time we're talking particularly regarding 62 AD to 90 AD, which is 28 years. In 28 years, the Lord's church at Ephesus was being challenged. And in many instances, so much so, that some had fallen from grace. The church, there was still a church which existed that he is writing to. But other matters, even though they were still members of the Lord's church, for some, other matters took first place in their lives. Now hold on to, stay with me for a few minutes, and I think you're going to appreciate what we have to say. Let's take a stroll down memory lane. Ephesus was the leading city in Asia Minor. Ephesus was made rich by the pilgrims who flocked to the city every year to visit the temple of the goddess Diana. The city's prosperity depended on those visitors who came every year. A seaport city, Paul's representation of the gospel was so effective it literally threatened the livelihood of the citizens that depended upon their income on this false imitation that they came to worship. Some years later, Paul wrote to the Ephesians. He wrote the Ephesians to emphasize the vital difference between Christian faith, Christian life, and between pagan faith and pagan's life. Christianity is not an entity or not something constructed by the human man. It's designed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Father, Jesus Christ. In Ephesus, there were also, other than the goddess Diana, they had beautiful housing, beautiful buildings in Ephesus. So people enjoyed and looked forward for many reasons to going to the city of Ephesus. The church is not a building. Amen. Reiterating, the church is not a building, amen, but a people. A people, and the Lord's church, it's a people who know God. Amen. And God, who expresses his love in the way that we live and obey his will. We display, Christians display the character in the holiness of our daily lives, expressing our love for our Lord and Savior and his Father Jesus Christ. The basic message of the book of Ephesians is that Christ's church, the Lord's church, is a living organism. Yes, sir. Not not mortar and brick. Stone. It's an invitation. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Reiterating, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each were intimately involved in the forming of the New Testament church. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, each intimately involved in the establishing of the Holy Spirit. How can we be wrong? How can we go wrong following the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? It's a challenge. The Apostle Paul expresses what God has done in and for believers in his Son, Jesus Christ, in chapters 1, verses 3 through 14. He writes that God has blessed believers with every spiritual blessing in his Son, Jesus Christ. He then goes on to show how each person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has been actively involved in providing the blessing Christian life for human beings. Ain't that good news? Now note, God the Father chose us. God the Father chose us, human beings, to be blameless, and to be holy. He predestined to adopt us as his children. Isn't that good news? No, you're not excited about that, huh? He made his will known unto us. He put his plan into effect at the right place and at the right time. Jesus Christ, his Son, provided redemption for human beings through the shedding, coming from heaven, living on earth, and the shedding of his blood. That provided forgiveness for all of our sins. All of our sins. We should shout and be happy and be holy all the time. No pushing and shoving to get us to do the right thing. After Jesus Christ has come all the way from glory, the Son of God, just for us. How are we responding? It is determined, I should say it is predetermined, that is, determined beforehand, that the righteous will live eternally with God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. That's what's waiting for the righteous. Is that not exciting? Anyone, all of us, in our right mind, know that we're not going to stay here all the time. Know that we are going to, he said that we're going to leave, and folk are leaving. And when he calls them, nobody says, oh, hold up, not ready yet. Haven't heard of that being done. We must understand, if we plan to make heaven our eternal home. But let me put it this way. We must understand that there are two places to go. I think you've heard that since youth. Let me rephrase it. I think you've heard that since you were a child. Because you might say, I'm youthful, but I'm 65, but I'm still youth. Peace. When we read the first six chapters of the book, that might be all. Yeah, that's all there is, isn't it? Of Revelation. It's critically important that we read and understand what God is saying to us in the book of Ephesians. Of course, in all of the books, that's necessary. But we want to make heaven, if we want to make heaven our eternal home of abode, we must indeed obey the will and the word of God. We are to be one people, joined to the family of God by obeying the gospel, living in the Lord's church. And he came all the way from glory to call us to be his brothers and sisters, his Son Jesus Christ, and to bring us home in eternity. He knew. He knew before he left glory what they were going to do. That they would have a number of people that would obey them, obey the Son, and there would be another number that would not obey the Son. That's why we are able to read about heaven and another place that you can spell quicker. And you don't want to go there because that's eternally fraught with pain and agony. Living in the Lord's church as the family of God, chapters 3, verses 1 through 21 in the book of Ephesians, we are to be and we are to live as one family. Not two families. Not a church here that doing this and a church there doing that. We are to live as one family. Yes, sir. Living as the church. Living as the Lord's church. As one people. Ephesians chapter 2. And read verses 1 through 22. Talking about, and also chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Because the Bible talks about the church as the family of God. It talks about us living as a family. Read chapter 4, verses 1 through 23. Talking about the church as a family. We are to be holy, obedient, and receptive in obeying, the knowing and obeying the word of God. It's a When we read Ephesians, it's an exciting, well, I guess that's what we say about all of the books. But it's extremely exciting because it talks almost like one-on-one. God and human beings. God and children, human beings who can live and be like God. Who can be his adopted children. Human beings who can live and come when they die. They can come and live with him forever and ever and ever and never. Ever die. Amen. Death, yes, sir. Again. Yes. Living as the church, chapters 4, 1 through 16. Remember, you are not alone, neither are you your own. Let me run that by you again. Number one, you're not alone, neither are you your own. Why, preacher? Because we are bought, those of us who are sons and daughters of God and who will become the sons and daughters of God, we are bought with a price. Yes, yes. With a price that no human being could ever possibly pay. And we are enabled by the Word of God, doing the will of God, and we can handle any situation. Isn't that good news? Yes, Word of God, knowing the Word of God, living the Word of God, God enables us to be his children. Read chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. He's an enabler, and he never sleeps, never gets sick, and he's always willing and ready to hear his children. When we read the book of Ephesians, it's a book that lets us know from where we came to where we're going. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. In eternity. Not just death. You see, because death is simply a separation of that which God put together. You remember? Go back to the creation of human beings. Dust, God's breathing, put them together and came up with a human being. What happens at death? God takes the breath out of the body that came from the dust, sends it back to the dust. But the body came out from God. And as a result, we never cease to be. Go back to the God who created us. And then, at some point, we read about in Revelation chapter 20, that God calls all of us
one day at the judgment. Revelation chapter 20 talks about judgment day. When God checks the record, and he already comes prepared to do what he's going to do. And what he is going to do is not based on him. It's based upon what the humans did with the word that he gave them while they lived on planet Earth. He will say to those who obeyed him, because Revelation 20 said that he has a book on all of us. And he keeps the books up to date. At the judgment, the books will be open. And another book will be open. And we're going to be judged as to whether or not we, the human being, coincide with the book's instructions. That's it. That's how easy it is to make heaven your home. Even Jesus says while he was here, my yoke is what? Easy. And what I ask you to do is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are we going to argue with God at judgment and say, well, God, don't you know what I did? No. That won't be that way. God is always in charge. That event brings about the eternity that the Bible talks about when you read Revelation chapter 20 and then read to the end of the book. Not the end of the chapter, the end of the book. Talks about the end time. And it says, and God knows it ahead of time, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God, note, every spiritual blessing is in Christ Jesus. God the Father chose us, human beings, to be holy and blameless, predestinated to be adopted as his sons and daughters. So he made known unto human beings his will to us, his plan for us to follow, that we might have, that we might be restored in favor with him. God provided redemption through his only begotten Son. And that redemption required by God sending one that has never sinned. You couldn't do that with humans. So what did he do? He sent his only begotten Son from heaven. Not only just to come here, but to spend 33 years on planet Earth, living as we ought to live, showing us the way, and then became the sacrifice for our restoration. God had his Son to go through all of that just for us. Does that not indicate what love can do? Does that not indicate how much love God has for us? Does that not indicate how dearly God wants us to come and live with him, the Holy Spirit, and his Son? How can we ignore that kind of love? God has provided redemption. Father and Son and the Holy Spirit were each intimately involved in forming the New Testament church. What can be understood as a living temple, as the body of Christ, and as the family of God the Father. The Apostle Paul expresses in his letter what God has done for believers in Christ Jesus. He writes that God has blessed believers with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Isn't that good news? He goes on to show how each person of the Trinity has been actively involved in providing the blessings Christians now enjoy and will enjoy in eternity. God the Father chose us to be holy. He chose us to be blameless. He predestinated us to be adopted by Him. Put His plan in effect at the right place and at the right time. Jesus Christ, His Son, provided redemption through the painful agony of coming to live with human beings and to die a painful and shameful death on a cross. Yes, sir. Providing forgiveness of our sins. Can we not live in such a way to say thank you? It is predetermined that the righteous will live eternally with Him. Yes, sir. Yes. Eternally with Him. What complaints do you have with a gift like that? Is it too many times to come to worship Him on Sunday? Is it too often? Because you come back on Tuesday? What is it on planet Earth that can be more important to you than knowing the will of God and living the will of God regardless of what it takes? Because that's the attitude of God. Regardless of what it takes, I'm going to send a solution for man's sin. That's God's resolve. He gave His all for us. How can we not do the same? And if we don't, how can we expect God to say, "That's all right, I understand, come on in"? Not happening. I want to encourage you. Read the book of Ephesians. It will gladden your heart. Read the book of Ephesians. And then go on to your other reading. Reading other chapters and verses. But read the book of Ephesians that manifests so intimately and so vividly the love of God that He has for us and what He has gone through and how He looks upon us when we faithfully serve Him. And when we read Ephesians attentively, you can get along with anybody and you can love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, no matter what it takes, because of what He has already done for us. You know what? I'm wrapping up. I have thought about, I don't know if I've pondered on it, what did Jesus think when His Father say, "Son, you're the only one I have to send to earth, to man"? The Bible indicates that there were no discussion, no rebellion. "You want me to go? Why can't we, it's only two of them, why can't we just get rid of two and make two more?"
never happened. For God so loved the world, that included his son. His son so loved the world that he willingly came to earth as a human being. The way a human being comes to earth and the way human beings lived on earth. He lived like us, but without sinning. He gave it all. He came to do the Father's will. He came to live like the Father's will, to let us see that human beings can do what God commands for them to do. Because he knew the will of God, he lived the way God wanted him to live, and he was useful to God. He had someone to die on the cross who had never sinned. What if he brought you in for a special reason? You don't want to betray him. You don't want to betray him. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. God, can we get it through our mind that God loves human beings, but he doesn't love us so much that he's going to ignore our disobedience? He doesn't love us that much. Where are you tonight? Jesus is tenderly calling you. And the song says, I think he says home. Jesus is tenderly calling you home. This is where you need to be, in Christ Jesus. That comes first. What's first? That which is not second. Are you a member of the body of Christ? Read your Bible. Read Ephesus. It will gladden your heart. Believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God and the Savior of humanity. Be godly sorrowful for your contrary life. It's called repentance. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Christ, the Son of God. And be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. When you do that, God adds you to his family. What are you saying? God adopts you as his son or his daughter. He adopts you. And when he calls you from time into eternity, if you have been a safe, faithful child at the time of resurrection, you will hear him say, come, you blessed are my Father, inherit the kingdom that he has prepared for you. Oh, church. Church, do you hear that? Do you hear God talking? I've already prepared for your coming. Don't disappoint God. You might disappoint a lot of folks, but don't disappoint God. You'll regret it forever. The choice is yours. You make your decision as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
The word departs.
His truth is marching
and
on.
And close thine eyes against the Lord. Poor
Lord, have
sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved.
Oh, the song. Be saved. Tonight. Don't put it off. You don't know what death is.
Oh, why?
Come to Jesus.
Not
why
tonight.
Not tonight?
Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Then why not? Oh, why not?
Why
tonight?
Not?
Tomorrow, sun may never die.
What reason do you have to say
to
no to God?
Bless them. long deluded thought. This is the time of envy.
That's it. You may be seated. All tonight.
Oh, tonight. Oh, one.
Yes, sir.
Not tonight.
Yes, sir.
Oh, why not tonight?